morning to each one. The chatter tells me we're friendly and love each other. That's good. Let's have a verse. Excellent job. What do we have for announcements this morning? Tim?
Okay, this next Friday and Saturday is the West Central District Tract meeting here at Fairview that we are hosting. This meeting only happens every 2 years. We're excited about it. We hope you are. There will be a Friday evening service here that everyone is invited, and I might say encouraged, to attend. I think it'll be a good evening. There will be a guest speaker, Todd Schmidt from Scott City, Kansas. He's on Gospel Track, and he will give the main address that evening. We will need our song leaders to be responsible for two different congregational songs on Friday evening. We will need our ushers to be on hand. I don't know how big of a crowd we'll have, but we have invited Gultry, Ringwood, Hydro, and Eakley to attend the Friday evening service. So if some of those come, we could have a nice sized crowd here. We'll see. Also, we will have two special songs that evening. And we are looking to our local quartet. That would be Luke, Vaughn, Kyle, and Eric to bring those songs. So we hope that they are willing for that. And then Matt Levings will have the closing on the Friday evening service. We'll also have a session here on Saturday. And that one at 10:45 after our break, Gospel Track will be giving a demonstration of online track activity, showing how the website works and the hits they get, and I don't know how it all works. People that have seen it say that it's very fascinating to see that demonstration. All would be welcome to come for that. And yes, there is a lunch served that day, but unfortunately, I think our food committee is only planning on the different tracked committees being here for the lunch, so we'll have to keep that in mind. So anyway, give it some thought, think about it, show up Friday evening, and do your part.
Very good. Thank you, Tim. Sounds like something we'll want to keep on our agendas. Anybody else? Okay. If not, we have CE tonight, 7 o'clock. Matt posted something on Quick Alert about a CPS letter. Trust you have read it. If you haven't, look it up and read it. It is, it's interesting. The church is growing in some ways there, and the needs are increasing. Dale? Okay, Dale is asking for prayer for Jack Nichols. Okay, one other thing, our sister Darla is in Fairview Hospital as of yesterday in swing bed. What did you say that room number was? Room number 9. I think she would be welcome visitors, so let's keep that in mind and continue to pray for her and Wilbert. Okay, I think Matt has something to share with us here this morning. Thank you.
This is in regards to our revival ministers. I think a year ago we brought it up here. There had been a suggestion handed in about asking one of our ministers back every year. And I think we kind of opened it up for discussion last year and let it sit a couple weeks and brought it to a vote. And we did, I think our congregation at that point voted to try it. And I think in our minds, I don't know that we exactly stated that last year, but in our minds, we just try it for maybe several years and then see if we liked it or not, asking one of our ministers back every year. And I think we're thinking about that. We kind of mentioned a little something to Tyler, but we told him we wanted to do a little more background work yet. So I guess that's what we're doing here this morning. Just to see for sure how you all are feeling about it. Is that how you want to handle it? Should we go ahead and ask Tyler back and then ask another brother to come with him next year? Or would you all have a different feeling on that? I don't think we were necessarily trying to revisit this every year, but yet at the same time, we kind of gathered maybe there was a little uncertainty last year the way we brought it. So we thought we'd just open it up here. Does anyone have any comments, or how do you feel about it?
Clear enough, Wayne.
I think he likes that. I think it works out well.
That's important.
I like the concept.
Okay. Anybody have a thought on the other side? Okay, well, maybe we'll just ask for a vote of support and might just leave it this way, that we'll try this for the next couple of years and then maybe we can revisit it and see how we feel about it then. Would that be okay to bring it that way? All of those of you that can support it, can you show that by raising your hands? Okay, that looked very strong, so thank you. And I think it's a little bit early yet, but I was just thinking a little about a time frame and revival minister nominees for next year. I know it seems like we kind of usually settle out in the January, February range, maybe latter part of January through February for revivals. But you can be thinking about that. Maybe we can bring it up here in a few weeks and also be thinking about nominees that you might have for revivals next year. You can feel free to hand those in anytime. Maybe we can revisit that again here in a few weeks. So thank you. I was just thinking a little bit about Wayne mentioned that CPS letter, and I think I guess I've just been kind of inspired with it as I've thought about it. All of our young people that are really, that's what they're saying in that letter, is there's so many young people that are putting their names in to serve, to give time. And I think, you know, I think we would feel like that's an important part of our peace witness as a church, that our young people could spend some time in voluntary work here in our country. And it seems like our young people are ready and willing. There's many of them that are putting their names in. The lists are getting longer and longer. And CPS, I think, would be enthused about, you know, opening new units, new opportunities for our young people. But they also recognize that that takes house parents, and they're already struggling with filling positions in the mission, you know, all over the world. And so do we have couples that are willing to serve as house parents? It also takes money, and they already feel like they're asking for money. And so that's kind of the challenge they're up against, and that's going to be visited at annual meeting. That question is going to be visited at annual meeting, discussed. And they would like for that discussion to They would like for us to mindfully consider it as a conference ahead of time, and you as a brotherhood, and maybe you have some thoughts. They're not asking for answers to come forth out of, you know, at this point, but if there's thoughts on your hearts, that you would share it with us as a staff, and that way when we have that discussion at annual meeting, that we can have some, maybe we can find some direction for that. So just thought I would mention that. Thank you.
Let's have a song.
Let's take our gospel hymns and turn to number 22. 22. No song. Where would I rather be on this beautiful day than in the house of God to sing sing and pray. God's Spirit hovering, so divinely fair, around His chosen ones who have gathered there. I would rather keep the door in the house of God than dwell in wickedness in the world so cold. I would rather fellowship with the people of God. That's where I'd rather be, in the house of God. Where would I rather be on this day of rest than in the house of God with the saved and blessed? Though some would join the throng in pleasures made, my
well, I've had some thoughts running through my mind. I kind of hesitated to bring it on a Sunday morning. I don't know if it's, but I guess I will. I recently listened to a book called Killing Jesus by Bill O'Reilly, and it's more of a historical book on the crucifixion than a spiritual book, but He's done a lot of research into the crucifixion, and I don't know, it kind of really brought it to life for me. Before the crucifixion, we know that Jesus was whipped, and those Roman soldiers, they were a highly elite unit. They were called the Death Squad, and it wasn't just some random soldiers. They knew what they were doing, and they could whip a man to death. They had little, you know, leather cords on the end of that whip. They would tie different things on, and Pilate had specifically told the soldiers that Jesus was not to be killed, so they tied little round weights on there instead of the sharper ones. And two Roman soldiers, they tied his hands up on a cleat or whatever, and two Roman soldiers on either side stood, and there was no gap in between. I mean, as soon as one whip came off, another one fell. And, you know, they just, the Bible, the Jews talked also, they had a limit. It was 40 lashes, save one, so 39 lashes, but pointed out that the Roman soldiers also didn't hold to that. They would beat him as long as they felt was necessary, and in this case, they didn't have no set standard of time, you know. And then when they were done, they tied, put the robe, purple robe on him, and, you know, once his back was raw, then that would have stuck to it. And Jesus didn't have no break in between there. They tormented him after that with the crown of thorns. And I don't know, in my mind, I've always heard about the crucifixion, you know, and we read the Bible stories, and it's back there. But it doesn't seem realistic enough, or it doesn't seem realistic. Happened 2,000 years ago. But I was also impressed with God's timeline isn't in a linear fashion. If our sins, you know, there's the song, God, time does not erase the sins we have done, or something like that. And it also talks in the Bible that 1,000 days is as one, and one day is as 1,000 years, I mean, with God. So if our sins haven't been sent before us and taken care of by the blood, when we stand before God, it'll be like it just happened. And Jesus will have just been crucified right behind us. And I think that, you know, how can we imagine in our own minds if something like that had happened to our son or something? You know, if they're not covered by the blood, then that judgment will just, Jesus will just die, just like yesterday. And I don't know, it's just given me a lot of thoughts that we should be behooved to have our sins covered by the blood, and that we must be saved. Let's kneel in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for this day of worship. Thank you too for enduring the cross and dying for our sins. Help us to avail ourselves of this. Just be with the one that's to have the message. Give him inspiration. Just ever lay God and direct us. You can have a home in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our hymnals. Number 116. He loves me. 116 in the hymnal. Do me so, do me so. Listen, let me pitch it.
I have trouble pitching, so.
Oh, alas and
been inspired to be here this morning, Sunday school, and listening to, it seemed like we had a really warm Sunday school hour, personal sharing, and listening to the introduction and the songs, and it's touched my heart. And I've had a couple of historical accounts on my mind a little bit this morning. I know we can look back over the pages of history and we can look back over man's accomplishments, and there have truly been some marvelous accomplishments throughout the history of time. There's probably a lot of things that we can get interested in, maybe that you all are interested in and that you've studied up on. But there's been a couple of different books I've read over the last, oh, it's been the last number of years, that have impressed me. And I guess they, for some reason, they've been on my mind here the last day or so. And one of the books that I read was a book about the building of the Brooklyn Bridge there in New York City. It's a fascinating book. It goes into a lot of the details, the politics behind that project, and then the actual building of it. And I don't know, I guess I find some of those kind of things interesting. And I'm not going to talk about it much here this morning. I think Mr. Bays would probably have to set me straight on a few things if I got too deep into it, so I haven't refreshed myself on it for a long time. But there's a short river that runs through New York City. I think it's called the East River. I've never been there, but the way I understand it's the East River, and it separates Manhattan there. I think it separates the island of Manhattan off, and there's been several bridges, number of bridges built across it. I think there's tunnels under it, but back in the mid to late 1800s, there was a project undertaken to build a big bridge over that river connecting Brooklyn and Manhattan. And the river was a formidable obstacle in that project. It took a number of years. I'm not sure how many. I think it might have been close to 15 years to build that. And today that bridge stands there. I think it handles a lot of traffic. A lot of people go across that bridge every day into Manhattan, back out to Brooklyn. And I guess I've been impressed as I thought about that. You know, there could be all kinds of things said about New York City, about the building of it, about the placement of it all. It's one of the bigger cities in the world, and yet that river was dividing. It ran right through there. It was dividing, and there was a need to cross that river. And man, there was much effort put into building that bridge and spanning that river. And eventually it was accomplished, and today the fruits of that are seen every day. People enjoy that, you've been able to use that bridge, enjoy the fruits of the labor. There were deaths that happened during the building of that bridge, and today that we could say it was all worth it. There was a need. There was a division. There was a need to bridge that river, and it was done. And the other historical account that I was impressed with was the building. It was also building something. It was man's accomplishment. And it was a book I read on the Panama Canal. And a little bit the same idea there. It wasn't a bridge. It was a waterway connecting the two oceans there down in Panama. That happened, I think it probably was finished over 110 years ago. And again, there was a need, there was an obstacle in the way. You know, it wasn't that there wasn't a way through it over the, there was a way, there was a route around. I think it's close to 8,000 miles around South America. There were many trips, there were many ships that made that trip around South America. But eventually someone, I think it was France first, that saw a need, felt like there could be a great benefit to a waterway cut through the country of Panama, saving much effort, many miles. And France attempted it and finally gave up, and the U.S. took over, and after, again, the deaths of many, many thousands of people, a lot of them due to malaria down there. But that canal was built, mission was accomplished, and here it is, over 100 years later, and there's still many ships that run through that. I think there was more added to that canal here maybe 10 years ago or so, but the efforts that were put into that canal 100 years ago are still being recognized every day. There's lines of ships that wait to use the Panama Canal to save miles. And again, the efforts of man spanned by much effort, by death, by much labor, the efforts of man spanned the country of Panama, and it was successful. And I guess I've been thinking about that quite a bit. You know, the need that went behind, that was behind some of that. It wouldn't have had to have been done, but there was a need. There was something that needed to be spanned. There was something that needed to be bridged, and man put his hand to it. And it was accomplished. And that's amazing, isn't it? In so many ways, that's amazing. And that's in a physical sense. And I've been thinking a little bit in a spiritual sense down some of those lines. And I really appreciated our introduction this morning. It seemed like it kind of went along with some of the thoughts that have been on my mind, or at least where my mind has started with this, as I think about the need that man has spiritually, the need that's there, and the many things that want to divide or keep us from recognizing that need or from finding the answers to our needs. I've been thinking, first of all, about the need for salvation. And, you know, in a sense, we could say that our need for salvation is something that is absolutely, that we are incapable of working our way through on our own. The efforts of man have done many marvelous things, but that is one thing that we cannot do on our own. We cannot span that gulf that is between man and God. There's a gulf there. God's on one side, man's on the other. It's because of our sinfulness. I think we could say that gulf is sin. That's what divides man from God. And that is the thing that man cannot cross, that man cannot overcome. And Brent directed our minds to the crucifixion of Jesus this morning. And I've been thinking about that too. I was thinking about a verse in Isaiah. I thought I'd just start off with that, Isaiah 53. Verse 12. And you know, that gulf of sin that we're talking about, in a sense, God, sometimes I've wondered about that. You know, why does God care? Why does He care about us as man? What is His plan? You know, we know, though, that He created man to glorify Him. He created man with a choice. But that sin that was introduced into the world is what separated man from God. I think about the Garden of Eden. I think about man being cast out because of sin. And that sin is what stands between, isn't it? It's what stands between us and God today. And yet, I think we all, as we sit here, we know our need. We know our need for that sin, for God. We know our need to span that, to get across that sin, that gulf of sin. And we know that Jesus was that. He was that bridge, wasn't He? Sometimes we sing that song, Jesus Built a Bridge to Heaven. It says that he used only three nails and two pieces of wood, the old rugged cross. But Jesus was the bridge. He gave his life. And it's like we heard this morning, in a sense, we, because of our sin, because of our need, in a sense, we partook of that crucifixion. But Jesus became the bridge. And I guess that's just a impressive thought to me. It's a precious thought to me this morning that Jesus is the bridge that spans that gulf of sin, isn't he? You know, the Brooklyn Bridge, even the Panama Canal, those are doing an amazing work. They're filling something that they're filling a role, a place that many, many, many people benefit from every day in ways that we probably don't even realize. But yet when I think about that in comparison to the gulf that Jesus spanned, that he bridged, to me it seems like that is so much more. I think about all mankind today, every living person on the face of this earth today. And then you think about every person that's lived going all the way back to Jesus' time. Then you think about every soul that's lived since the beginning of creation. And every soul stood to benefit. Every soul stood to benefit from Jesus' sacrifice. And to me, that's such a beautiful thought. And this 12th verse, I think I'll just read maybe the last half of it here. It says, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And this is talking about Jesus. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I guess that's just really impressed me. He was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus was actually, he was labeled. He was labeled a transgressor. Jesus who never transgressed, he would be the most unworthy person of that label today. The rest of us, we're worthy of that label, aren't we? Every one of us here this morning, we're worthy of that label. Jesus was not. And yet that was part of building that bridge, that he was labeled, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with us. He was numbered with the worst transgressor you can think of. He was crucified with a thief, with a murderer. That was the level that he was taken down to. It says he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And that's the bridge that he built. And it's because of that bridge, it's because of that sacrifice that he made that you and I can, that we can be saved, that we can cross that gulf. It's by his blood, it's because of the grace of God that we can walk across that bridge, across that sin. We can leave that behind us, and we can be made one with God. And that has been an inspiring thought to me as I've thought about it. And you know, it's something that we're all, like I said before, we're all benefactors of that, aren't we? It's something that has made a difference in our lives. It's something that's changed us. It's something that It's the thing that changes us, isn't it? It's the thing that makes it different. You know, without Jesus, without his sacrifice, we're on the other side. We're separated from God. And there's nothing we can do to cross that. We can live lives as good and as holy and as pure as we can possibly come up with on our own. We can do everything just right. We can summon from within us, we can summon sacrifice and self-denial and good graces and all of those things, and yet we're still on the wrong side of that gulf by our own efforts. But it's when we cross that bridge that Jesus built, that he made, the sacrifice that he made, it's when we cross that bridge that we can become one with God, that we can stand before God free and clear. And so as I think about us here this morning, I think we are, by and large, we're people here this morning that are on that side of the bridge, aren't we? It's not that we don't need the blood of Jesus anymore. We need it to stay there. We need God's grace to stay there. But that's who we are, and that's what we are. And I've been thinking a little bit about, there's another verse that's been on my mind. Maybe we can just read it. It's just a couple chapters before that. Isaiah 52, verse 7. And in a sense, this brings us to our part, or to a responsibility that I believe that we have as God's people. Because Jesus built that bridge, and because we have benefited from it and we've taken advantage of it, it brings us to our responsibility. And this is a beautiful verse. I love it. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." And to me, this verse it speaks about the redeemed. It speaks about the saved and the responsibility that they have to publish the good tidings, to tell about that bridge, to tell others. And you know, when we have that unworthiness in our own hearts, when we recognize what we've been saved from, when we recognize where we are, when we recognize what Jesus did for us, that is such a solid foundation, isn't it, to spreading the word, to telling others. This verse puts it in a simple way. It speaks about bringing the good tidings, publishing peace, bringing good tidings of good, publishing salvation. And just that thought, that when we have been saved, is that the message of our hearts? Is that something that I think about every day? Is that something that I realize the preciousness of, and that I'm willing to just simply pass on? There's a poem, and I didn't know if I'd read it this morning or not. Maybe I will. It's short. It's been on my mind as I've been thinking about this. It's called The Bridge Builder. I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, "An old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That sullen stream had no fears for him, but he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. 'Old man,' said a fellow pilgrim near, 'you are wasting strength in building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again must pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you the bridge at the eventide?' The builder lifted his old gray head. 'Good friend, in the path I have come,' he said, 'there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building the bridge for him,' by Will Allen Drumgoole." And I've been thinking about that part of, you know, Jesus built a bridge for us. And it's kind of brought a question to my mind of what kind of responsibility we have in building bridges. What kind of a bridge builder are you? You know, there's the bridge that I was talking about earlier that Jesus built. There's no way that you and I can build that bridge, is there? But I've been impressed with the thought. It seems to me like there are bridges that we can build. And it is because there are bridges we can build because of the bridge that Jesus built for us. Because Jesus made a way for us, it seems to me like that his people have a responsibility in building bridges to help others. You know, that verse in Isaiah talked about bringing the good tidings, publishing peace. You know, we can tell others about that bridge that Jesus built, and I think that's part of our responsibility. I think there's many people that know about that bridge Jesus built. It's hard to imagine there's people that don't. There probably are people that don't necessarily know about it. But there's probably many, many people that don't know how to get there. And you know, it seems like in our paths through life, so many times we can come to things, and I think that's every one of us. I'm not excluding any of us from that. You know, in a lot of ways we're a needy people, aren't we? And we come to things in our own lives many times that seem hard to cross, or maybe even seem uncrossable. I think every one of us has experienced that. Maybe this morning, maybe there's some of you here that are there. Maybe you feel like there's things in front of you that are uncrossable. And I think especially as we look around us and we see some of the challenges that other people face, we see some of the things that they meet with in their lives, it seems to me like so many times we come into contact with people who are facing uncrossable things in their lives. And that poem spoke of an old man who was reaching the end of his life. You know, he had seen life. He'd done a lot of things. He'd been through a lot of things. And it seems to me like there was a settledness in his life. There was a settledness in his heart. And you know, he came up against an obstacle, against a chasm there. It says it was deep and wide, but he made it across. And you know, he could have kept going. He could have kept thinking about his own path, thinking about his own journey. But he knew there was somebody coming behind. Apparently a little part of his heart was back there yet. I'm not sure. I don't know what his relationship was to the young man. Was it his son? Was it somebody else? I don't know. But his heart was behind him. And as he thought of that young man coming along, he thought about this thing that man would have to cross. He wanted to do his part. And he set aside his own journey for just a little bit. And he built a bridge across that chasm, it says. And I don't know how he did it, and I don't know what he used, you know. I think there's a lot of things that we can do in our lives to help others that are small. Sometimes building a bridge doesn't have to be very much, does it? I just really don't think it does. I think many times as we come in contact with people who are facing difficulties, who are facing things in their life, many times building a bridge can be a very simple thing. It can be a word spoken. It can be a small act of kindness. It can be a smile. Sometimes those things can build bridges, can't they? Sometimes building bridges involves more work than that. It involves more time. Sometimes it means spending quite a bit of time somewhere. It can mean, like we say sometimes, getting down in the ditch. We see a need. We see someone that needs some help. And we can look at the situation. I'm thinking of the Good Samaritan now. We can look at the situation and we can say, well, I don't have time. Or surely it's not for me. And maybe sometimes our vision of what Jesus has done for us is a little dim in our own hearts. Maybe we forget a little bit. Maybe we're caught up in the things of our own lives. We're caught up in the many details. We're caught up in our own path. We see the obstacles that are coming up in front of us. There's different things we could say or different ways we could look at it. But it impresses me this morning that, you know, this man in this poem, he laid aside his own path for a little bit to build that bridge. The Good Samaritan laid aside his own things that he had on his mind that day to stop and help somebody. And I wonder many times as I look at my own life, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to lay aside my own ambitions, my own purposes and goals and all that stuff just to help somebody, to stop and build a little bridge, to stop and say a little thing? You know, I don't know that it's necessarily for every one of us to do everything, is it? Sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to help us out, to know the things we should focus on and know the things we shouldn't. There's so many needs around us, and it seems to me like as I think about what technology has done for that, it's made us aware of so many, many needs, hasn't it? It can be almost overwhelming sometimes. We can know about things that are happening on the other side of the world that we can do absolutely nothing about. And yet they can be needs, and they can be things that we think about, that we wonder about. They can almost be burdens that we carry sometimes. And so to know to know what to do, to know what is our responsibility can be hard sometimes, can't it? Because it's not always, I don't believe it's always my responsibility or always your responsibility. And yet God does place things in our paths. He places people in our paths for us to help, doesn't he? He gives us opportunity to be bridge builders. Sometimes it might be hard for us. We might be tempted to stay and build a bridge when that still small voice whispers to us, you know, just keep going. I've got somebody else for this one. That could happen, I think. But so many times, God does have something for us to do, doesn't he? Just something small, so many times. And it's because, you know, those opportunities that we have, that we face, I'm impressed with that part, that it's because of, we have those opportunities because of what Jesus has done for us, because of what's been done in our own hearts and lives. And it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter who we are, how big or small we think we are, how talented or not talented we think we are. It seems to me like there's so many bridges that we can help build. Sometimes we may just be a small part of that bridge. We may just be one person out of many. But in some small way, we have the opportunity to be a bridge builder, don't we? I've been thinking a little too about what would be the opposite of being a bridge builder. You know, at first my mind went to being someone who divides, who's divisive, someone who tears down. And yet, I don't know, I suppose we can, but I think that in a lot of ways, I don't know, it seems to me like that many of the things that the challenges that we face in life, sometimes we can place those divisions or those things that we need to cross, that we can't cross, that look uncrossable to us. Sometimes we can blame them on other people, and maybe they are the fault of other people sometimes. But many times it's just impressed me in this way that, you know, life happens, things happen in life. We have a foe that's very willing to divide. He's trying to divide. He's trying to make things look uncrossable. He's trying to widen the gap, isn't he? But I don't know, when I think about the opposite of being a bridge builder, I'm not sure that that dividing is the opposite. I wondered if maybe sometimes just simply observing, being an observer, or being maybe observing and ignoring, maybe that's the opposite of building a bridge. Maybe just moving on. Maybe saying, you know, I don't have time for this. And that's kind of a harmless thing in some ways, isn't it? It can seem pretty harmless, and yet sometimes just not being willing to be involved, forgetting about what's been done for me, that can sometimes be the thing that sends us on down the road, can't it? And this morning, again, I'm not here to say that we're all not doing our part or that there's many things that we're missing or anything like that. I think in so many ways I've been amazed over and over again as I look at you as my brothers and sisters, the many, many times that you step in, you fill in. You're there to build a bridge. You're there to just offer yourself in some small way. And I have been inspired so many times with that. And it inspires me as I think about that responsibility of a Christian, that responsibility to build up, to encourage, to help, to make someone's way easier. That's quite a responsibility, isn't it? And it's not something that, I don't think it's something that God forces us to do. We don't have to make someone else's way easier. But it's an opportunity that we have. There's that song that gets sung sometimes. It talks about, and I don't know by memory, but it talks about working the road to glory, I think it says. And it leaves that thought that we can do those things to make it easier for those left behind. And that touches my heart this morning. And as I think about us as a congregation, I guess, first of all, I'd just like to say thank you to each one of you for the many places that you have done that and that you are doing that. It inspires me and it touches my heart when I see you living that. And may we just be encouraged to do that. May we just be willing to do our part in building those bridges, making things easier. Jesus is our perfect example in that. He made the impossible possible for us, didn't he? And may God bless us as we reach out to those around us and help them. Let's kneel and pray. Our Father, we just simply ask, Lord, that you would bless the words that have been spoken according to your own will. We thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, that you made a way, that Jesus died on the cross, that we can be forgiven. We thank you for the beautiful and simplicity of salvation, for the good news. And we pray that we can just simply, as we go about our lives, we can publish that to those around us. We can reach out to those, help those around us, that we can make the way easier and just continue to lead us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
. 376 in the hymnal, More Like Jesus. 376.
We, as your leaders, have talked about this and would like to try something a little different. Some of our other congregations are doing this, especially for our benediction. At the end of the benediction, when amen is said, if you feel to join in saying an audible amen, you're free to do that. It's not mandatory. It's not required. Just something we'd like to try. If we decide later we don't like it, we'll change it. So let's stand for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning at the close of this service, Lord. We want to thank you for this time that we've shared together. We want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that has been here and touched our hearts. We want to thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of our brother as he shared with us this morning, as well as the other parts of the service, Lord. Continue to help us, Lord. We need you so much in our lives. Help us through this day. Help us to let our light shine. Continue to inspire our lives and our hearts that we would live for you, that we would serve you. Call and convict the unsaved. Be with each heart here this morning that might be carrying a burden. Lord, that you would just reach down with your hand and touch their hearts and help them to know that you care and you love them and you're there to help them. Be with us through the remainder of this afternoon and keep us in your care and bring us back again this evening is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.